don't like.
You don't like?
Casket, no. I bought a four different types. And I bought a lot here, here, and I threw the rest in the rubbish at home. I don't like them.
Oh well. Okay, today's
Peivov.
Okay, so the discussion we're having is when we had Shmuel who said Rabbi Yochanan that he passed like Rabbi Yochanan Menuri in the Mishnah, who said that if a woman makes a vow that the husband is not going to benefit from her. So he says he should nullify that vow, even though it's not taking effect now because she can't do it now because it doesn't belong to her. But in case he'll divorce her, so it will kick in. It will kick in later, and we're trying to understand how Shmuel doesn't contradict himself, because Shmuel said regarding Hekdish that Ein Adam Makdish Dova Shlo Bola Olam. He says you cannot be Makdish something that doesn't exist yet. You can't make it Hekdish. So it appears that he's saying that you could be making a neder on something that doesn't exist yet. So we're trying to understand that contradiction. So we said yesterday that we had Rav Ela on the top of the page, which we did, but we'll just recap Omar Rav Ela on the top of the page, who says Ma ilu omer lechaveiro sada zu she'ani meichel lach. We looked at it in terms of comparing it to a sale of a field. Yeah, if a person says to his friend, "This field that I'm selling to you, lichasha ekachena mimcha taktish," when I buy it back, I want it to become hektish. Milay kacha, doesn't that work? So he says it's the same thing as the woman when she says that when you divorce me, what I produce will be osur to you. Then it works. So that's what Rav Ela says it's comparable to. So the Gemara says, 1 second, Maskiflo Rav Yirmiya. So Rav Yirmiya, we did this yesterday also, but we'll just repeat it. Maskiflo Rav Yirmiya. Rav Yirmiya has just sat down, so that's good. Rav Yirmiya says, what do you mean it's like selling a field where you said, when I buy it back from you, I will make it hektish? Me, dummy? Is it similar to the case of the woman? When he says, I'm about to sell you this field that I'm about to sell you, I'm making it hektish when I buy it back. That means right now, hashta biyadehi. Right now it's his. Yeah. So right now it's his. When he wants the hektish to take effect, it will also be his. So that's why he can do it. Yeah. But isha biyada lahaktish masiyadeh. A woman, she can't do it now. She cannot be maktish from masiyadeh now because it belongs to the husband. Yeah. So it's not a similar. What's the word I want?
Not comparable.
Comparison. It's not comparable. Yeah. She hasn't got the ability to do it now. So why would you say that it will take effect later? If you wanted to compare it to something to do with somebody selling a field, then it would be more comparable, says Rabbi Yirmiya. It would be more like if someone says to his friend, the field which I have already sold you. In other words, right now it's not mine, it's yours. And I'm talking about that when I buy it, if when I buy it one day, taktish will become kodesh. Which in that case, mikotcha, does it become kodesh? Rhetorically, no, it doesn't, because it's not yours. You can't be maktish. One day I'm going to buy that house and I want it to be hektish. Well, that doesn't work, because right now it's not yours. You can't do it. And that's what the case of the woman is. One day I'm going to get divorced. Well, right now, you're not getting divorced. You're not divorced. And therefore, those maisei yadayim don't belong to you to be maktish, or to be make a neder on. Yeah? So therefore, on the contrary, says Rabbi Yirmiya, if you want to compare it to the sada, that should prove that it wouldn't work, that her neder wouldn't work, and he shouldn't need to nullify it. Yeah. If the event, she's making it osur on him, so if he dies, there's no point in ushering it on him because he's kind of dead. Yeah. So this is not. Okay. Yes. Okay. So therefore, what is he saying? So therefore, Rabbi Yirmiya is saying, on the contrary, if anything, the comparison to selling a field and making it hektish should tell you on the contrary, that her vow doesn't work. Yeah? So maskif for Rav Papa. Rav Papa says, no, it's true that we can't prove that it does work, but we also don't have a question that you seem to be proving that it doesn't work. Why? Because me domi. Is it like that case where he sold the field, where the field belongs to the other guy and he's trying to make it hektish? Gabez vino, when he sold it to somebody, it's not his. Yeah, it belongs to the other guy. Is psika milsayu, that's it. It belongs to the other guy, full stop. He has no more, it's as if it never was his, yeah? So he's got no rights in it at all. So when he says, I want it to be hektish later, he's just talking in the wind. Divrei hevel. But gabe isha, by the woman, even though maisa yodeha is meshubet to the husband, yeah, what she produces, the husband has rights to, but mipsika milsa, is it, would you say it doesn't, she's got no say in it, it doesn't belong to her at all? It's still her hands, yeah? So it's different. She's got more power over, even at the time when she's married, she still has more rights over her own hands than what the guy has over a field that he sold and doesn't belong to
her at all. Talking about the maisa yodeha, we're talking about the...
No, we said that.
Work,
oh,
not to
no,
hands.
No, because we said that the only way a neder works is if it falls on a object, and the object is her hands. Yeah, so that was the way we tried to answer that. How can it work out, even though it's a low bala olam, because her hands are in the olam. Her hands exist.
But the neder was what? It was on maisi yodam.
Okay, but you know, yeah. She says you kotcher yodai lo yseyim. Yeah, so she said my hands should be hektish. So they're saying that she can't make her hands hektish now because they're meshubed to him. Yeah? She means, not hektish, but a neder. I mean, it's a vow.
He won't have any
benefit. It's a vow that these hands are also to him. No, I'm sorry, it wasn't hektish. She used the word, yeah, you're right. It's not the word. The word hektish in this sense doesn't mean hektish.
It means
it's osur. Yeah. So therefore, says Rav Papa, on the contrary, if we want to really get a good analogy in the case of the field, haloi domi, it is not similar, ela la'omer, but to the case where the person says, l'chaveroi, sodazu shemashkanti l'cha. So what's the case when he says, I gave it to you as a mashkin, so I borrowed money from you, and I gave you as a collateral this field. So you've got it in your house. You've got a field in your house. You've got the field. You've got the keys to the gates, whatever, right? Because I gave it to you as a mashkoin. But ultimately it still belongs to me. Just right now, you have rights to it because I gave it to you as a mashkoin. Yeah? L'chashe efdena mimcha. And then the guy says, when I redeem the mashkoin, why does a person give a mashkoin? Because he couldn't pay off the debt or he hasn't got assets to cover the debt, so he gives this. When I get the money to pay back the debt, I'm going to get back my field. So when I redeem my field from you, taktish, I want it to become hektish then. So in that case, because he still owns it, it's just temporarily secured to the other guy. Milo kotcha, won't that become kodesh? So on the contrary, in this case of the woman, it's like her hands, they're still her hands, but temporarily they are mushubir to the husband. So therefore, just like in the field, when his mashkin is temporarily meshubit to the lender, so her hands are temporarily meshubit to the husband. And just like when a person says, that field which is right now a security by the lender, when I redeem it and reclaim my security, I'm making it hegdish, and that works. So also, she says that even though my hands are right now meshubit to my husband, but when I reclaim my hands, they'll be also, I make them also to him. So that's why it should work. It's much, so this is going back and forth. This is like Tevye. On the other hand. It's my favorite. Maski for Rav Sheshe b'Rei Ravidi. Rav Sheshe b'Ravidi says, but on the other hand, me domi, how can you say that her saying that her hands are going to be also when she gets divorced is the same as the guy saying, when I redeem the mashkin, it's going to be mine, I'm making it hektish. Soda b'yoda liftoisei. Redeeming a mashkoin is completely up to him. Well, he has to get the money from somewhere, but let's say he got the money from somewhere else, yeah? So it's up to him to redeem that security, that collateral, yeah? There's nothing, that means as soon as he's got the money and he's able to redeem it, the other guy can't refuse, yeah? If I give you a security against a loan and now I have the money, you have to give me back my security, yeah? So it's in my control. that I can get it back. And therefore, it makes sense that if I say it's hektish, it's hektish when I get it back. But isha beyodal is garish. Can a woman get herself divorced? No, it's not up to her at all. So when she says that when I get divorced, I want this neder to happen, well, it's out of her hands entirely. So therefore, it shouldn't work. Halei dami, if you want a real analogy, says of Shesh Shabrei Davidi, then you have to do mine. Ella, what's the analogy? La'ayba l'chaveiro, he says to his friend, Sada zusha mishkanti l'chala eser shonim. This field, which I have given you as a security for the loan for 10 years, that means for 10 years I can't get it back. So it's not biyodai, it's not up to me to redeem it, because I can't redeem it before the time. L'chashef dena, when I redeem it 10 years from now, mimcha from you, taktish, then it's hektish. Midlay kotcha, won't that work? So the same thing is by the woman, that she said that it's still...
She can't procure a divorce.
No, but eventually, if she gets one, it works. So the Gemara asks back, Maskela Ravashi, comes from Ravashi's the last guy, so Ravashi says, on the other hand, how can you say it's like the guy who said for 10 years this field is secured? 10 years is a limit. So at least you know that in year 11, it's going back to him, so he can make it hektish. But a woman might never get divorced. Me domi, hasam kaitz. There, even though it's a long time, but 10 years is 10 years. It's a deadline. So therefore, when he says it's going to be hektish after those 10 years, we know 100% that after those 10 years, it's going to be his. And therefore, even now, it's like it's his. He's still got his finger on it. But isha, when a woman says, when I get divorced, me isla kitzusa, is there any fixed time to know when she's going to get divorced? She might never get divorced. Not all women get divorced. Elam or Ravashi. So Ravashi says there is no other hand. Yeah?
Ooh. End of the line.
There is no other hand. Yeah? In other words, we cannot compare it to any of those cases. So we're back to our original question then. Our original question was, how come Shmuel said that by Hektish, yeah, in the case of Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, he said, is chulin, because you cannot make things hektish, that they should take effect later, because you can't be maktish adav shaloi bala olam. But by a neder, so by hektish, he said, it doesn't work. And by a vow, we said, it does work. So what's the difference? Says Ravashi, shiny kainways, vows are different, because vows, the chikiduchas are gufdomi. A vow is like, a vow is like kedushas haguf. Kedushas haguf. There's two types of hektish. There's hektish where you say I'm making this microphone hektish. Yeah. So what does that mean? I'm not going to use the microphone as a korban. I'm not going to use it as a cliché. I'm not going to use it as a piece of a brick to put in the wall of the Beis HaMikdash. What am I going to do with the darn thing? I'm going to sell it and take the money and use the money for something that the Beis HaMikdash needs. Yeah. So that's a hektish of kedushas domim. The value of that is what's really going to go to hektish. Kedushas aguf is when I take an object itself. So let's say an animal for a korban. Or a silver kli, which I'm making hektish to be used as a kli shoris. So those things, the object itself is holy. It's not the pshat that it's a donation and I'm giving the value and you can do whatever you want with the money. It's the pshat that this thing itself becomes holy. So if you want to compare a vow to some type of hektish, you cannot compare it to kedushas domim. Yeah, when the guy said, I'm making that field, all your analogies, I'm making the field hektish, yeah? What sort of hektish is it? The field isn't going to be a korban. What are you going to do with that field? You're going to use the value. You're going to sell it. It's a financial thing. It's kedushas domim. So therefore, it's not similar to a vow, because a vow has the power of kedushas aguf. When she says, my hands are osur to you, it's like it has the power of the object itself becoming analogous to hektish. Yeah? And when it's kedushas aguf, then it's a different story. Like Rava said, the Amar Rava, hektish chametz v'shichur mafkiyah midei shibud. If you have something which is mortgaged or obligated in some way to somebody else, yeah, but it comes along and becomes chametz, and it's Pesach, yeah, then that goes out. That takes away that shibud. So, for example, if you gave a non-Jew chametz as a security for a loan, yeah, then when pay, so even though that is now meshubed, what does that mean as security? That if you don't pay the loan, he keeps the chometz. Yeah, but so far the time's not up yet, and now came along Pesach. What happens when chometz, when Pesach comes and you have chometz? That chometz becomes osur b'hano. It's like it's not yours.
And securing the loan is the hano.
As the Gemara says in Psachim, yeah, but you can't use it also. As the Gemara says in Psachim, that there are things that are not yours, but the Torah makes it like it is yours, and one of those is chometz on Pesach. So it's yours in the sense that you're responsible for it, and you have bal yiro and bal yomotzei. Yeah, you're not allowed to have it in your possession over Pesach, but it's not yours in the sense that you're not allowed to do anything with it. You can't have any benefit from it. Yeah. So therefore, when a person, so the chometzness of it takes it away from the obligation to the guy. The guy's going to say, "Hang on, that thing is meshubah to me, so I don't care about your laws of chometz." Says Rava, no, too bad. The chometz takes away, because in fact it's still owned by the Jew, that chometz becomes osur b'hano, and you've got to give the guy some other security or do some other arrangement. Yeah, so the chometz takes you away from that security of that mortgage. Similarly, shichrur. Shichrur means freeing I should have said hektish first. Hektish was first before chometz. Hektish means if you make something hektish. So I give you something as a security for the loan, and then I have to make it hektish. And it does a goof. So that takes away from you, and now it becomes hektish. I'll do something else. It's still mine.
That's the point we're showing. That's the point.
That takes away the shibud.
You've got ownership and not possession.
And I'll make another, we'll have to make another arrangement for the loan. But that particular object is becoming hectish.
No. It's like you lease a shop. It's yours, but you can't go into the loan with the guy paying rent.
No, but if I make a hectish.
Can you go and sell it and there's a new landlord?
If you give him notice.
Hello.
You don't have to give
hello.
Notice. Hello.
No. This is neither.
You can't say to the tenant, get out tomorrow.
No, you keep him there. Let him stay there as a tenant, but I can sell it to someone else. It's my property.
Says, I didn't want
hello, by the way, these are all very nice, but hektish wins against all of this, yeah? Yeah. So whether you can do other things, when you make it hektish, it's bad luck, because it now belongs to God. So he outranks, he pulls rank, yeah? So hektish, chometz, and the third one was shichur. Shichur was, if you have an eved, a slave, and you say to the lender, you go to the Commonwealth Bank and you say, "I want to borrow money, and the mortgage, the security is going to be my slave," yeah. And then what happens is you suck the bank in, and they agree, and then you say, "Okay, now I'm freeing the slave," yeah. So the slave says to the bank, "Goodbye," and he goes away, yeah, because shichrur, freeing of a slave, also takes away the shibud. The bank will still come after you, don't worry, but they won't be able to get the slave back. Yeah, so those three things remove a shibud. Yeah, so therefore, and what sort of hektish? Kedushas haguf, when it's the object itself. And therefore, when her hands, when she makes a neder, it's like it's because it's the kedushas haguf on her hands, that takes away the shibud. So even though the rule is that a woman's hands are obligated to do stuff for her husband, but if she makes those hands hektish, that takes away that obligation. It pulls rank on the shibud. Yeah. The laws of marriage are very complicated. The laws of her hands are different anyway, because she has a right to say, "I'm not doing the work and I'm not being fed."
After a certain amount, not from the beginning.
No, she can say that right at the beginning.
She feels that I'm generating very good money. I don't want any of that to go to her. She says, "Look, I'm not going to give anything. I'm going to take it. I'm going to take it after my diet."
At the end, at the end of the day. At the end of the day, the whole concept of her hands being obligated to the husband is a rabbinical decree. That is not something that is a min haTorah, the rules of marriage. It's something that the Chachamim made. The Chachamim made various takonos in the Marriage Act of 1861 BCE. Yeah. The Marriage Act. Yeah. So they made a whole lot of takonos. What are his rights and what are her rights? But they are all sort of man-made provisions, financial arrangements. Yeah. When something becomes hektish, though, that comes along and blows that all away. And what Rav Rashi is saying is that a neder has that power. So even though the Chachamim made different arrangements and clauses for the rules of marriage, but min ha-toyba, that's all, none of that is applicable, and therefore she makes a neder. The neder comes along and blows all that away. The neder comes along at the end of the day and blows it all away, and the neder takes effect. That is what Rav Ashi says. Okay, so there's only one problem here about this very tremendous thing. The problem is, Ihachi, says the Gemara, if so, if we're talking about as good as a guf and it blows away all other obligations, then Lomali Shamiya Gashana. But the only problem is that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri said, why does he have to divorce her? Why does he have, why is the neder, why does he have to nullify the neder? Because maybe he'll divorce her and then it will be chal. But if the whole point is that when she makes a neder, that's strong enough to blow away the obligation she has to him, is it nothing to do with him divorcing her? It blows her away now.
Even during the marriage.
Yeah? So what's Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri giving that reason? Says the Gemara Tani Va'oid. Another reason Shema Yogashana. So there's two reasons.
So all we've done is made an adjustment in Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri.
Yeah, we're saying that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is saying two things. Number one, it takes effect now because a neder is strong enough to blow away the shibud of the husband. Yeah, and number two is that even if the Chachamim would somehow make another amendment to the marriage act and say that they're putting the shibud back on and it's not allowed to take effect until later, then later he might divorce her. So you've got a double barrel thing, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and that's why he should nullify the vow, which is different from a case of someone being makdish adav shalom ba'ala olam, that in that case it doesn't take effect. Okay. Got through all the hands and got to the end. Now we come to something different. New Mishnah. Nodra ishtoi, a person's wife made a vow, v'sovor shenodra bitoi, and he thought it was his daughter. Not that he doesn't know the difference between his wife and his daughter, but what happened was he didn't actually hear it firsthand. Yeah, remember, we're talking about a husband or a father. When do they nullify a vow? When they hear about it, b'yom shamoy. So they might have heard about it from somebody else. Yeah. So somebody comes and says, hey, you know, your wife just made, sorry, it says to him, your daughter just made this vow.